There is no way around the central role that money plays in our lives. That's what Nathan Dungan, the founder of a financial management organization called Share, Save, Spend, says, and I think it's true. Using money is like breathing. We have to do it all the time, whether we are even aware of it or not. Just by being alive in the world, we all breathe air. And like it or not, we all use money. We buy groceries, we pay bills, we pay taxes, we're paid for our work. We can no more avoid interacting with money than we can stop breathing. We just can't do it. And this is not a new phenomenon. It's a tale as old as time. Even in Jesus's day, money was something to talk about. Jesus actually talks a lot about money. He talks about it more than he talks about marriage or worship or any of the other things that we Christians seem to argue about these days. And yet, though Jesus was open about money, we seem to be a little squeamish in talking about it. Money's hard, whether you have it or not. I'm willing to bet that almost every one of us here has something in our financial lives we'd probably rather not share. Maybe you make more money than people might expect, and that's a little stressful. Maybe you make less. Maybe you have credit card debt or outstanding student loans that you cannot seem to ever be able to pay off. Maybe you have outstanding medical bills or not enough money saved for retirement. Maybe you have a lot saved for retirement and things are looking good now. And then you also find yourself wondering, am I still going to be able to live off of this in a few years? Maybe you have an investment that you know deep down is lucrative but unethical, and that makes you a little uncomfortable. Maybe you have bad credit. Maybe you have to make gut-wrenching decisions about which bills to pay and which ones to put off. Maybe you're tremendously wealthy and generous, and you're not sure of what to make of a parable about having to give up all of your possessions to enter the kingdom of heaven when you already do so much for so many. Money is stressful. We know that. The rich man in our text today knows that. Jesus knows that. The rich man asks Jesus, "What is the way to eternal life?" Thinking that he already knows the answers, right? And Jesus responds with this list of commandments that he already expects, and he knows he can check off of the list. No stealing, check. No coveting, mostly check. No lying, yeah, mostly check. No murder, check. And then Jesus says it takes a little more, and that is when we find out that there is one commandment this rich man is not able to check off. He had many possessions, the scripture tells us. And even though he wanted to inherit eternal life, he was very reluctant to let go of them in order to do so. We don't actually know what the rich man did. The text doesn't tell us. It's an unsatisfactory ending. But the open-ended nature of it is an invitation for those of us hearing this today. As the rich man sadly walks away, Jesus says, "It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Now that might seem like an odd metaphor until you know a little bit about the ancient world and maybe a little bit about Koine Greek. So there are two actually different but equally sensible interpretations or translations of this little phrase. If you've ever visited Old City Jerusalem, it is a walled city that is only accessible through a variety of gates around the city. And there's one gate that has a large door for all manner of things to pass through, and an adjacent door that is much smaller. And that was designed to protect the city from invasion, almost like a funnel. And so this small door is only big enough for a person or two to enter at a time. It keeps animals out. And legend calls that small gate the eye of the needle. A camel could only pass through it if it had unloaded all of its baggage and was slowly guided through. Now, another explanation of this somewhat strange metaphor is that the Greek word for camel is very similar to the word for rope, and that some meaning might have gotten lost in translation. The passage was meant to perhaps say it's easier for a rope to pass through the eye of a needle. Now, of course, that's equally impossible, because you would still have to fray a large rope down to its smallest thread in order for it to pass through the eye of a sewing needle. So whether it's a camel or a rope, Jesus is laying down a hard truth here. There is a lot we need to shed in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. And that while that might sound daunting, maybe even incriminating, I think that perhaps it's not as out of reach as we might think. The past year and a half of a global pandemic has given us pause to consider a renewed understanding of the word essential. What goods and services, what people we really need for our everyday survival and well-being. We have had over 18 months of radically reconsidering what is essential and what we can shed, what really matters, and what we could stand to let go of. The pandemic has also revealed injustices and disparities in our work and labor force, who and what we exactly deem essential. Who do we demand put their lives at risk for our health and safety and comfort? How are they compensated? How do our social, economic, and legal systems support them? Who gets paid well, vaccinated first, protected through legislation? I believe, friends, that we are standing on a precipice right now. As businesses and entertainment venues and schools and offices begin to open up again, and there's talk of like a return to normal, as if we even know what that is, we're faced with what I believe is a life or death decision. Do we really go back? Do we really go back to radical wealth disparity and labor inequality? Back to a society where some of the workers that we deem most essential are also the most disposable and poorly compensated? Or do we move forward into a new and a different future? And what will it take for us to make that decision? Because see, here's the critical part of the story of Jesus and the rich man. When the rich man tells Jesus that he has kept all the commandments since his youth, we can almost hear his like eagerness and his hope. We can almost see it in his eyes. Like, I'm good, right, Jesus? I'm good. I don't have to do anything else, right? I'm good, right? Jesus doesn't just give him an answer. The gospel actually gives us this little interesting narrator's aside to make the point to tell us that before Jesus answers this man, he looks at him and loves him. Jesus knew how hard it would be for the rich man to hear what he would have to say. You lack one thing. Go sell what you own, give the money to the poor, and then come and follow me. It takes a lot. It requires shedding a lot to follow Jesus. And Jesus knows that this is hard stuff for us to do. And it may seem like Jesus gives this rich man an impossible decision to make. And it might be hard to make sense of it, right? Like, is becoming destitute really the only legitimate way to be a Christian? Like, that's a little far-fetched, isn't it? And it seems like pretty unjust math, too. Subtract from me, add to others, and then I'm good with God? Head scratcher, yeah. But getting caught up in the legalities and the mathematics, that misses the point. As the prophet Amos reminds us, God is not interested in a legal system. God is interested in a justice system. And God's heart is hurt by those who trample the poor and take from them levies of grain. Those who afflict the righteous, take a bribe, and push aside the needy in the gate. For us who seek to follow Jesus, our love of, relationship with money is inextricably linked with our love of and relationship with justice. For us, following God's commandments to the letter does not matter one bit if we're not willing to shed our preference for our own comfort at the expense of other people's suffering. Hate evil, love good, and establish justice in the gate, says the prophet. We cannot get rid of money, just like we cannot get rid of the air that we breathe. We cannot sell all of our possessions and give them away. That's not realistic, friends. That's not practical. God does not aim for us to become destitute. That's not the goal here. But we can see that the decisions that we make around our earthly possessions, not just our treasure, but also our time and our talent, are rooted in our love of good and our commitment to justice. Jesus looks at all of us like he did at the rich man, with love and an invitation. And I wonder, what would he lovingly tell you that you had to shed in order to enter the kingdom of heaven? What do you struggle to let go of? The rich man walked away sad. We do not have to. Amen.